Thank you, Brother Ziegler. I never thought I'd ever be this nervous to try to preach and to preach to this crowd. But I do have several. I counted up at least a half a dozen grandkids here, and I'm glad for that. We're glad for our family, and I'm sure you are yours. And it's not far down off of Poverty Ridge. Well, I guess I'll just take my liberty, be free. I remember we had Brother Dustin here years ago, and I think it kind of bothered him. He said, I didn't think Brother Gibson would be here tonight, but I think he got the victory over that. He stepped back about 4 or 5 feet here from the pulpit, kicked just as high as that pulpit right there, and said, this is the way I preach to him in prison. And he started in on us, so. Praise God. Found in Jonah, the first chapter and the first 3 verses. I'm reminded of the little girl that was all dressed up in her Sunday best to go to Sunday school. She got out to catch the city bus. She had her Bible. And the bus driver said, I guess you believe that book. And she said she did. And he said, I suppose you believe that story about Jonah and the whale. And she said she did. He said, well, I just wonder how Jonah could breathe down in the belly of the whale. She said, I don't know. Never thought much about it. But when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah about it. Well, he said, suppose Jonah didn't make it to heaven. She said, well, then you can ask him. So I believe this story. Somebody said they would have believed it if it was the other way around, that Jonah swallowed the whale. You know, if it said that in God's word. So I appreciate the song the Albrights sang. And it's good to believe what Jesus said. No question it. All right, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for every blessing of this day and of this week and of thy word and of the fellowship of the saints. We pray that you'd strengthen us and help us, anoint us tonight to preach the word. Give us what you'd have us to have, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I suppose a message ought to have a subject or a title, and mine would be The Price of Obedience or The Price of Disobedience. Or I guess we could really say, in regard here to poor old Jonah, paying the price of both. You know? I mean, he thought he'd take a shortcut. He thought he'd get out and get out of the presence of the Lord and messed around and paid the fare trying to get away, and then ended up had to pay the fare to seek the Lord. Now, you say, what do you mean by the cost of obedience? I would be fair with you tonight and let you know that there is a cost to obedience, but it's worth it. I mean, anything that's worth anything is going to cost you. I mean, you go to try to trade cars and you worry around all day long and you go home all wore out and all discouraged and all defeated because the price was more than what you wanted to pay. And a lot of other things that's more than what we want to pay. There's a price attached to about anything that's important. And so we find that Jonah, he didn't want to pay the price to mind God. I don't know, Jonah lived at Gath Hepner, I believe that's the way you pronounce it. That was a little ways from Nazareth, about a few miles northeast of Nazareth. And I don't know what Jonah done other than being a prophet of the Lord. I don't know if he ministered up in that area. I suppose he did whatever the Lord wanted him to do. But there came a time whenever the Lord spoke to him, you know, out of the clear blue, and said, you know, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Well, now you say that's not so bad. Well, it might have been in that day. Nineveh was 500 miles away. Now, that's a long ways now for me. And I think it would have been a long ways for Jonah back probably in that day. And I want you to go to Nineveh. And another thing in regard to going to Nineveh, it was the Assyrian capital. The capital, Nineveh, was the capital of Assyria. And the Assyrians were enemies of Israel. And so the Lord said, I want you to get over there to your enemies, my enemies, and get over there and preach to them the message that I give you to preach. Well, that's going to cost Jonah something if he's going to do that. I've thought a lot of times of our general leader back there in the Westland Holiness Church, Brother Glenn Griffith, but he said there came a time when I stepped out and shut the gate, and that was behind me. I was trusting God. I was going to mind him. He was going to preach the gospel. He said whenever he was ministering out there in the oil well country, out there in Oklahoma or Kansas area, and he said they in the oil sediment there was about 16 homes of those workers in the oil field. And he said the Lord laid it on his heart, said, I want you to go and pray in every home. He said, you know, he started out that evening and praying with those people and moving on to the next place and moving on to the next place until he made the complete circle. And he said, I had the knees out of the only suit of pants, the only pants of the suit that I had. Sometimes it cost to obey God. And I thought in regard to revival, you know, Brother Benjamin, in his prayer meeting talk, it centered, I think, in regard to our taking our liberty, but it centered in regard to the matter of obedience. Obedience. We can have revival if we obey. And we'll not have revival if we don't obey. And obedience is inclusive of so many things. You say, well, we'll have to pray down revival. That's part of obedience. That's part of the sacrifice. We'll have to push back from the table and maybe fast some. That's part of obedience. We'll have to take our liberty and mind God, and we need to do that. And I thought of Brother Gabe, and I don't think he's here tonight, but I thought when Brother Cassidy was here and Gabe stood up that night at the close of the message and took a real man to do what he did. He was the key to the service. He said, I need to go to the altar, and he did. And of course, others followed. It cost something to mind the Lord. Well, the Lord may, young people, the Lord may call you into his work in a special way. and people may not understand. You may need, and you will need, to go and prepare. Maybe go to school or whatever and prepare for the work that the Lord has called you to do, and it's going to cost. Sometimes individuals won't understand. Sometimes even parents, but I hope that we don't have anybody like that here tonight, but sometimes parents don't understand and they stay in the way and they say, you know, oh, you can't do that. It'd be too dangerous and where's the finance and all of that, and discourage. And I've known of individuals that said, and especially girls, that said, you know, my mom and dad stood in the way. They said I couldn't do it, and I didn't do it, and I missed the will of the Lord. Well, we don't want to do that. We want to be obedient. If he says to go, we want to go. And there's been a lot of individuals, not only in the foreign countries, but in various places, where God has led them and sent them in for revival. I'm glad he'll speak to us. I was reading back sometime in that the larger wind book, you know, that El Paz printed, and about the fella over there in the foreign land, and he found that shack as he was traveling, and he bedded down in that, but he slept warmer that night than what he would imagine that he did. And whenever he woke up the next morning, there was a big old snake had coiled up in under him. He was keeping the snake warm, and the snake was helping to keep him warm. And man, he didn't lose any time of getting out of there and headed out. And the Lord said, now go back and get your blanket. You're going to need that. I have protected you through the night. I'll protect you now. You say you just let him have it? I had a retired preacher tell me in regard to Moses and Aaron, and when they were in before Pharaoh, and Aaron threw that rod down and that thing became a serpent, and then the Lord said, pick it up. And that preacher told me, he said, I wouldn't do that. Well, the Lord didn't say get him right behind the neck. He didn't say where to get him. And of course we know about where he, as a Kentuckian would say, retched down and got him by the tail. And then it turned back to the rod. Well, if the Lord said, but I'd want to know the Lord said it if I was going to do that. The Lord said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And so about 50 miles from Gath Hepher down to Tarshish. And so Jonah decided he wouldn't pay the price of obedience, and he would go down to Tarshish. And things just worked out. 50 miles away, he gets on the boat, he pays the fare. He goes down to go to sleep, and the Lord sent an awful storm. You know, storms come. Who was it, Amy, that preached on storms? The storms can come when we're doing the will of the Lord. Brother Ziegler, I'm sure you could testify to doing everything according to the book and of obedience, and yet it seemed like, you know, things went into reverse. It just happens that way sometimes. The devil is still alive. Thought of what Brother Fay said back there, how he got saved and the Lord delivered him and helped him, but he said, you know, that didn't do anything for the devil. He was still just as mean and ornery as he ever was. But thank the Lord, if we're minding him, even though things go in reverse, he'll help us. He went down into the side of the ship and went to sleep. How many remember Big Ray Smith? He held a revival, I think, in it, Stone City years ago. And I've heard him preach a lot of different times. There was Little Ray that pastored out at Coweta, still living. And then there was Big Ray, all in the same denomination. Big Ray was kind of lived up to his name, pretty good size. Big Ray said that was the most comfortable part of the ship, down where you'd get the least amount of pitch and rock and whatever was going down into the side of the ship, and that's where Jonah went. But you know, those fellas up on the top and in charge of the ship and the workers, and the storm was on because God had sent a storm. And when he sends a storm, I tell you, it's a storm. And so they begin to cast, the scripture said, they begin to cast the wares overboard. I mean, that trip wasn't going to pay anything. They was going in the hole on this deal. They cast the wares overboard. And the shipmaster came down to where Jonah was and woke him up and said, "Oh, sleeper, what in the world are you doing asleep down here, man?" He said, "Get up and get on your knees and pray to your God. It might be that he'll do something for us." But Jonah wasn't in too good of a praying condition at that time. And finally, it all boiled down to disobedience. He said, I really, the Lord sent me on a mission, and I didn't want to go, and I haven't gone, and here I am. I'm a Hebrew. They want to know, who are you? What's your occupation? What are you doing? What are you doing on here? And he said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of the Lord." Now, can you think of any more ridiculous thing of an individual, a preacher, or a prophet trying to get away from the Creator of the universe? If I can get down to Tarshish, God won't know where I'm at. You ever feel like that down in the valley here? Well, you knew the devil knew where you was, whether the Lord did or not. Flee from the presence of the Lord. How ridiculous. We can't get away from the presence of God. He said, "The only thing that I know that you fellas could do would be to lose." I don't know whether he was the only paying customer they had, but he was one of them. And he said, "Just dump me overboard." They said, "We hate to do it." But he said, "You'll have to do it." And so they did. But I don't know how much ahead of time the Lord knew what was going to take place, but it said the Lord had prepared a great fish. Whenever Jonah went overboard, it was so easy. The old fish with his mouth open. The New Testament calls it a whale. But here in this story, it talks about a fish. It wouldn't matter which it was. I wouldn't want to be in either condition. But he was enclosed. The scripture says that 3 days and three nights, Jonah was in the belly of the fish. And then it says, and then Jonah began to pray. Brother Ray Smith said that whenever God was looking for a preacher to, or a prophet to send down to Nineveh, and he had a real turpentine imagination, but he said, you know, he looked down the list of preachers that he had, judgment preachers. You know, everybody's not equipped for every job. There's some people that are good at knocking on doors and talking to people and talking to them on the street and various things, and some that are good in the nursing home service. But everybody's not, seem like, adaptable to every situation. But he said God looked down his list of judgment preachers, and Brother Jonah was at the head of the list. Now, I don't know if that's the way that it was. I just know that he got sent. He was on God's list some way or another. There was some metal. There was some determination about Jonah. How many could lay in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights and be too stubborn and too just resolved to death and whatever wanted to come and not never pray or anything about it? I couldn't. I'd be sending up prayers before I ever landed there, I believe. And the scripture said, he said, I cried. And the commentator said that old Jonah, in that cry, that wasn't just a passive statement, but that he was screaming that God would get him out of there. He was screaming that God would deliver him. He was paying the price now of disobedience. But a fellow that could do that, a fellow that wouldn't pray for 3 days and three nights, I tell you, there was something about him. God knew who he was choosing and who he was picking on. If he could just get that channel in the right direction, and there's a lot of individuals under the sound of the gospel tonight that if God could just get their will and their determination channeled in the right direction, there's no telling where they might be able to go before the devil ever got them stopped. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, sometimes individuals have fooled me and surprised me. And when God come upon them and the Spirit of the Lord and the help of the Lord upon them, how that he would help them to accomplish what needed to be accomplished. Well, Jonah learned some things. He said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So I take it that Jonah had been observing lying vanities. I can see him as he was down there in the belly of the old whale. And he said, you know, I didn't want to go to start with. And that was true. And I don't know why God called me. And somebody else could probably do it better than I could do it anyway. Well, that's beside the point. Whether somebody else could do it better than what we can do it, if God puts his thumb upon us and in our back, then it's our responsibility to do it. He could have observed lying vanities and said it wouldn't do no good, go over there to those Assyrians, and I don't think much of them anyway. And it wouldn't matter to me if God does destroy him. Really, I kind of hope that he does. And they wouldn't listen to me. I mean, they would just, it'd be like today, just kind of go in one ear, out the other. So there wouldn't be no need for me to go on and on lying vanities for those however many days and hours that it was down there. How many lying vanities went through his mind? I don't know, but I'm sure that several would. But after he called on God and began to get God's attention, and I tell you, he screamed and called, and he wasn't ashamed. There wasn't anybody else to bother him. He prayed out loud. It's good sometimes to give God our voice. Somebody told Uncle Buddy Robinson, you know, Uncle Buddy, God's not deaf. He said, no, but he sure is a long ways from this place. And so sometimes it's just good to give God our voice. I live down here in the parsonage. I don't know where Judith would be up there, but I could hear her praying, voice coming down in prayer. When Linda and Becky lived over in Rodney's place, Linda walked down the drive praying out there, and I could hear him praying. That's music to my ears, to hear somebody calling on God and looking to God and beseeching Him to help. It's good sometimes just to give God our voice, and it helps us to pray and to pray on through. I know we don't always have to pray that way, but it's good to do it sometimes. Praise God. After he got through and got back to God, got reclaimed and got saved, he said, I will sacrifice the voice of thanksgiving. Now, Brother Ben, that would have been a text for you. Sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving. Don't matter who hears me or who's around or whether it's in the sanctuary or wherever it's at, but I'm going to praise God and worship Him and thank Him for what He's doing. Praise the Lord. Some folk are too ashamed of the Lord to hardly bow their head and pray in the restroom, just kind of a little, you know. And well, I know we don't have to scream and we don't have to try to get attention and things of that nature, but on the other hand, we don't have to be ashamed of the Lord. Brother Adam said he was in the restaurant one place, and there sat a fellow. All he had on was just a pair of shorts, you know, sitting there nearly naked. But whenever it come time to eat, why, he bowed his head and prayed over his food. Well, what would you say? A half heathen like that could bow his head and pray. What about a wholeness person ought to be able to pray? Offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Then he said, I'll pay my vows. You know, whenever folk get saved, they have promised the Lord something. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll pay my tithe. Dad said when he was in Washington camp years ago, and I can't remember right at the minute, the old bone scraping preacher that they had over there, but I think it was on Sunday morning, he just went and got the offering plate and began to take the tithe envelopes and maybe read them off and laid them aside. And then when he got through, said, well, now where's yours? Well, you say, I don't like that. He didn't care whether you liked it or whether you didn't. Yeah, we promised we'd obey the Lord. We'd do what He wanted us to do. If you're a Christian, you've got light, and I don't know how you'd keep from having light on paying your tithe, you'd pay your tithe. If you had become a Christian, there's some things in our dress that we lay aside that's of the world and put it aside. And I remember years ago, this boy at the altar, and there was praying, and he'd taken big old belt, you know, buckle, and I believe that was part of it, laid it on, and I don't know what else he'd taken off and laid on the altar. I remember Brother Griffith just came along and just swept the whole thing off in the floor. God didn't want it. They don't need offering it to Him and sacrificing it to Him. He don't want it. There's some things we destroy and get rid of. That's right. And there's some things we put on. Somebody said it's a lot cooler in the shade anyway. The world looks on and maybe thinks we're so silly because we wear clothes, but that's all right. We're Christians. We're holiness people. We want to look that way. He said salvation is of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. Now, isn't that a wonderful discovery? that a fellow ought to have had sense enough to have known before he ever started on that pilgrimage that salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to that old fish. Just spoke to him. And said, you got to get rid of your supper. Sometimes you have to. You feel better when you do. And the old fish vomited him out on dry ground. And Jonah got up, and the voice of the Lord came to him again. And it was the same thing. Now, isn't that amazing? I want you to go to Nineveh. There's no cutting corners. There's no Jewing the Lord down. It's not going to be any different. Sometimes people come around and say, I want you to pray with me about such and such. All they're wanting is somebody that'll agree with them and side in with them and see it the way that they're wanting to see it. But no, whatever the Lord said to begin with, whatever the Word said to begin with, that's the way it'll be. All right. We got him up out of the belly of the whale. We've sent him on his journey. And so I think we'll...